Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the podcast. It's part two of the questions. I will try and get through them as quickly as possible so we can get all 100. If I do, I think one more part after this one should probably get pretty close to 100, I'm guessing. Maybe. Depends on how long and detailed the answers are, I guess. Is Shiloh still John, or we're not talking about that anymore? I believe it was John or Peter. From what I understand, Shiloh is Shiloh now, and it is Zahara is perhaps the one that's being pushed. It's really interesting about when you think about some of these celebrities and their kids, it's always the adopted ones. There was a big discussion about David Banda today and Madonna. And you know, he was in a dress, and I don't think that she's trying to push any kind of agenda there. I actually think that, well, that she got him, she forced, not forced, but got him into a dress and then posted it to Instagram. But I don't think anything like that is going on. I don't think that David is going to become Denise or something like that. But you know, Charlize Theron and her adopted children, and we don't know what's happening with other adopted children. It's very strange how they just keep pushing and pushing and pushing. But as far as I know, Shiloh is back to Shiloh. On a scale of 1 to 10, how horrible is Chrissy Teigen? It would be really easy just to say 10. Is she a 10? If we're talking about horrible as in a horrible celebrity, okay. But is she worse than Ryan O'Neal? Is she worse than the Lohan parents? Things like that. So I don't think I'd put her at a 10. I think that you probably, if you look at the scheme of that, if we're talking horrible, using these other celebrities, then I'd say she's probably about a 6. But if we're just looking at somebody strictly, let's just base it on social media, then we'll go with 10. Who is protecting the Duggar family and why? Well, I think there's a lot of interest. If you go back to the episode that I did and their religion and how popular it became because they were on TV. And when you're popular and you get more people in, then you get more money in, and then you get more people converted to your belief. So I think that their particular sect of the evangelical community is probably protecting them. If you go back in time to when Josh first was molesting his sisters, you had a state patrolman. Essentially say, just don't do it again. That state patrolman, of course, went to jail for child porn, sentenced for 50 or 60 years. You had a lot of political influence, whether it's the Huckabees, who were really good friends. You had Jim Holt. I know the last name is Holt. I can't remember his first name. And that's who Josh, his daughter was one that was betrothed to Josh when they were 14. And I had a blind a couple years ago that she was possibly also somebody that was molested by Josh. So there's a lot of people at play. There's a lot of money at play. When you have people coming in and you can convince them to tithe or give 20% or 30%, and you provide this whole new generation of young girls or boys willing to listen to what you have to say and live their life a certain way, that's very powerful. And there's a lot of people who would like to keep that cycle going. I think that he is in a lot of trouble this time around. I do think that he will go to jail. That is my guess. Please fill us in on the Brandi Redmond situation. Is the adopted baby Brian's? Yes. Who's that chick he was making out with in video at the club? And that would have been about the time that Bruin was adopted. Really close to that, because I think that video is from 2018. Brandi, I feel like a lot of these cities are messed up. There was somebody who shall remain anonymous who was recruited to be a housewife in a certain city, is constantly being recruited to be a housewife, and said, I fit the profile, but I don't want to be on TV. I'm a normal person. I don't want to be on there. I don't want to have my life exposed. And I think that that is extremely healthy. Extremely healthy. And the people that go on there, they're looking for fame. They're looking to have these things and to have a life. And oftentimes, things that people should have discovered about them don't come out until later. And it also brings out the who you are as a person. And if you're a bad person, it's just going to show off worse. I think some of the people, well, in every one of the cities, there's just so many issues, whether it's Jenshaw or Brandy or any of the other things that go on. It's just, it's not great. And I broke my rule where I don't watch a show until after the reunions are over. So I've actually watched the first two episodes of Beverly Hills. And I gotta say, and I was just thinking about it because, you know, Teddy is going to make an appearance, I guess. And Eddie with his MLM scheme. And Teddy's is an MLM scheme. Hers is for diet and his is for alarm systems. They're horrible. And Jen Shaw, would she have been exposed if she hadn't been on the show? No, but it's this narcissistic personality thing where, oh, I won't get caught. I won't. And you can see it with Jen Shaw still, where she's still posting and doing Instagram. Like, she's not going to go to jail for a long time. And it's the same kind of thing, whether it's Erica Jane. Oh, I can get away with it. Dorit, I can get away with it. Where are they finding these people? It just shows just the level of grift that we just see in scattered examples of housewives. And I think that Bravo, I don't know what they were doing with the casting necessarily of Dallas at first. Because you have Brandy, you have Stephanie, their husbands, you could just tell. Just if you just turned on the show, had never watched a housewife episode, as soon as you see those two guys, you're going, for sure, they're cheating. It's just, they're just cheaters. They just, that's the kind of vibe they give off. I think that if they hadn't been on Dallas, that the whole story about adopting Bruin would have, nobody would have paid any attention. The story that Stephanie gave, it would have been fine for their circle of friends. Everybody would have winked and nodded. But because it was played out, it's just, what are the odds that red hair and all that kind of stuff, so. Dumois claims that a TV couple who starred in a drama together are getting divorced. Apparently it's going to be big news. Any idea who they are? Somebody said, I'd believe about 5% of what she posts. She put something salacious out there that I know firsthand is false, and she essentially told me she didn't care and that those stories get hits. I have talked about crowdsourced gossip. I've talked about it on here. And it's really important that you have a clear delineation. I tell you guys, reader blind. And then if I reveal it, it's because I went back and I checked it. I went and looked. I'm not going to just, it's reader blind. And it's all protected under, you know, Section 230, where she can take something from the comments, post it, and that she has no legal liability whatsoever. To me, it seems very basic and very bland. Very basic gossip, really, for the most part. If you go back and you look at my site, probably in the early years, 2007, 2008, a lot of it is not that juicy. And on reveal day, I would try and find some of the juicy ones, but none of those really would even make a dent now. And that's what I equate the stuff back from 2007 and stuff. And now it's completely different. It's the gossip is stronger. You get more sources, you get more stories, but it seems so basic, and I don't know, it's not really my cup of tea. I think that if you're going to do the crowdsource gossip, I think that there's better ones. I think there's more creative ones. There's somebody on TikTok who acts them out, and I think that that's just more creative if you're going to do that. So that's kind of my opinion. As for a TV couple who starred in a drama together, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. If you go back and you can make a blind item that's super vague. And I like to give you guys clues. The people that read the site every day or listen, you guys know which words I use for somebody. It's whether it's the illiterate one or the ginger-haired one, they're not all that obvious, but after you've read it a while, the A-list's everything in her own mind. I give you the clue. You guys know who it is. If I gave you some kind of clue about this A-minus list singer actress, it could be anybody. rather than Jennifer Lopez. But you have to be more specific. If you're just being basic, it could be anybody. Now, I try and give a couple of different options or three different options just so there's some great guessing going on. But when you say a TV couple who starred in a drama together, and that's just, it could be anybody. So, although really, the way you're wording it, where it started in a drama together and the TV couple is getting divorced, or so they're married on the show too, and in real life, well, then it narrows it down, obviously. But that's what I feel is a problem. There's a great Reddit site, which I can't think of, but if you do Dumois Reddit, it's a sub-thread about all the things that have been rejected. It's a rejected by Dumois thing. And a lot of that stuff, I gotta tell you, is good stuff. Is really, really good gossip. And they're missing out by not doing that, because they want it to be pretty basic. And I think that they're missing out on some good gossip that could get some attention and some traction. I think that things have kind of changed on that. Thoughts, comments, knowledge on Isaac Cappy, not Gabe issues. You know, I try and not wade into that very much. I will say this, that the only time I really waded into it was because Seth Green was accused of being a pedophile by Isaac, and I've known Seth a long time, and I was kind of acting as the kind of a go-between situation where I said, you know, Seth's not a pedophile. I've known him a long time, and Isaac had known him a long time. And then Isaac finally relented and said, okay, no, I was wrong, Seth's not. Because Seth wasn't. And when you try and make some claim, if you want people to take you seriously, you can't just throw it, oh, everybody in the world is a pedophile. There has to be some kind of thing to it. I didn't know what to make about his last post to his Instagram account. I've read that. I've tried to analyze it. I don't know what it means. There's a lot of different interpretations to it. He was an actor that was having a decent career. He had the music group. He had Monster Paws. And it just somewhere, he got caught up in stuff and kind of took it too far, and I think he kind of realized that. I believe he choked Paris Jackson, and I think it would have been nice to see him kind of pull back a little bit and talk about his ideas, talk about his thoughts. And sometimes I think he just got so caught up in his thoughts that it was tragic. Now, the story of his death, where he jumped and two people tried to save him from jumping. If you look at then the Instagram post and you go, well, maybe he did, because it kind of sounds like an apology thing. And where he said, the reincarnation of Judas, the great betrayer. And that's the part I'm like, okay, well, what did you betray? Because the Seth thing had already been settled. That was several weeks before that. So I'm not sure to what to make of it, of his death and his final Instagram post. So, is Sam Heughan really in talks to be the next James Bond? I think everybody's in talks to be the next James Bond. Sam, with his, I have to say, if you have Stars, even if you've never watched Outlander, I really encourage you to watch Men in Kilts. It's a really, really good show. It's lighthearted. It's fun. It's really well done, and it kind of gives him another image other than from Outlander. So then you're like, okay, it is a show, and it's a well-done show, and I think there's going to be another season of it. But it also, you know, gives him a different face and a different thing where, okay, he could be James Bond, he could be this, he's dashing. They had a couple of takeaways where he's fourth-walling the camera and doing that kind of thing, putting him in a tuxedo and all of that. I could see it. It's because it's giving a different kind of thing than Outlander. So I think everybody's looking for an edge right now to become the next James Bond. In his recent book, Killing the Mob, Bill O'Reilly claims via research he found out there was almost a hit placed on Desi Arnaz. Had you ever heard anything like that before? Yes, and I have not read the book, so I don't know if this is something that he says that he dug up, but you can go back. This story has been around for, I want to say 40 years, probably. It just, back in the early 80s, when the New York and the feds were really going after the mob, there was a story where, so the mafia, they were being interviewed, they would turn, you'd hear stories, they were talking about it in court. So there's this guy, Jimmy the Weasel, and he said that he and a bunch of other guys met and planned to kill Desi Arnaz because they were angry at the way that he portrayed Italian mobsters. But, so then if you just write that, okay, there you go. There was a plot. You can leave it at that. However, Jimmy the Weasel's story was contradicted by an interview that he had given, I think, to a reporter or somebody writing a book, and also in a deposition. And he said that he hadn't, I guess this meeting was at a resort, which I can't remember the name of. And he says in the deposition, I've never been to this resort. I don't even know where it is. And it was that kind of thing. And I think the deposition one was about Penthouse and this resort were in a suit because the resort said that Penthouse published that it was a mafia location. So I'm not sure if there ever was. It was something that was said by Sammy the Weasel. But who knows if it's really true. And you could write the sentence in a book and not be wrong because Sammy the Weasel did say it, but he did contradict himself. Not to say that a mobster is going to be completely honest, but I'd like to, in the book, does he say it's from Sammy the Weasel? Does he have somebody else in addition to Sammy the Weasel? And that would be my question. But yes, I have heard it before. I just don't know if it's true or not. It's interesting that Jay-Z and Beyoncé have pretty much kept their twins hidden. Meanwhile, older sister Blue Ivy has been very much seen out and about with her parents from early on. Why do you think this is? I think it's because they put Blue Ivy out and about early on, and they said, I'm not sure we're going to do that with the twins. Also, when you go out with the twins, then it invites speculation about the twins. And unlike Mariah Carey, who said, hey, I had IVF. That's how I got the twins. I wanted to do this one time. Twins. Boom. But when it comes to, say, Beyonce or Jennifer Lopez, they never say it's IVF. We're supposed to believe that, oh, just out of the blue, naturally, they had twins. Well, they didn't. But it encourages this speculation. Oh, the twins are out. I think there was a picture of them maybe a year ago. I think they realized that they overexposed Blue Ivy, so they're doing less so. I don't think that there's anything other than that, except for the fact that everybody will talk about or ask questions and say, how did you find out you were pregnant and all this kind of stuff? And, oh, when the doctor called me. What do you think is the worst thing UK security services press know about Meghan Markle that hasn't been made public? God, haven't we said everything there is about her that's pretty awful? I think that they probably have a better idea of how she treated staff that we don't really know about. I think that that would be something that nobody really knows. If it's even more deep than the bullying thing. Who, in this next question, somebody asked any tea on Jason Knopf. He left. Did he leave because of the bullying? This is very strange. He did depart. He's married. His husband got a diplomatic posting. The thing is, nobody knows who his husband is because he's extremely private. Jason is actually American. He was born in Houston. All of his family still lives in Houston. I think his dad a brother was is a fire captain somewhere in Houston. And Jason somehow, through his education, where he went, he ended up in England. He was also in New Zealand at one point. And I think that that's where he met his husband. Maybe his husband is a New Zealand diplomat, which is why, since they're moving back to New Zealand, that would make sense. I don't think that his husband is a UK diplomat, because I think that the royals would have intervened and not assigned the diplomat to some post, or where it could have been a closer post to, say, France or something like that, where there could have been a commuting situation. So it is interesting timing where, all right, this is the guy who brought up all the bullying charges, and now he's going to be halfway around the world, where it'll be difficult. Does this investigation just kind of die out? Perhaps. Perhaps the royal family is, do we really, really want to just keep doing this? And then it makes it look like we're slagging on Meghan. So it is interesting timing, though. Give us the tea on Ari Emanuel. Why didn't the sexual harassment expose a blind you had in 2017 ever come to fruition? You know, the Ari thing, you have to realize how powerful Ari is. It's just, if you think about it, people were afraid with Harvey. People were afraid with Les Moonves. Well, think about Ari. And the whole sexual harassment, there has been, you know, CAA started Time's Up because of all of their things. Endeavor had their own issues. And back in the day, gosh, it has to be a couple decades ago, there was this agent who sued Endeavor and said, oh, you know, I was sexually harassed and I was the only female agent. And she had a good case because she settled for a couple of million dollars. And the Endeavor's insurance policy was canceled because they knew from the depositions and stuff that there was going to be possibly a lot more sexual harassment stuff. And because I guess there was a lot of drug taking there. They had hazing, but not hazing like, oh, go get me coffee. Obscene kind of hazing where there was a lot of nudity. People were having sex on desks. One of the agents said, hey, you got to hire me hookers to their assistant. Ari had a friend who was operating a porn site out of the agency. And Ari made a whole bunch of anti-gay and racist remarks. He said, because this female agent had sent a script about the Navy SEALs to Wesley Snipes. And he said, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And then he said, everyone knows that blacks don't swim. So this is what the environment was. And so that's why Lloyd's, who was their insurance company, said, no. And it's just kind of, and that was back in 2002. And then there was other stuff. And I guess they've tried to be better, but it really hasn't. And they were all in the 2017, here's a bunch of money to Time's Up to get everybody to be quiet. Any stories about Tie Me Down? I've said one before, I think on a podcast, and now I don't remember. It was something to do with some strange anal fetish that he had. It was crazy. I mean, Tie Me is... that is... There was a rumor before that when, prior to becoming famous, that he was an escort. There's always been rumors that, you know, he was would have sex with men for money. But he definitely, strange sex fetishes. And God, I wish I could remember that one. I think it was somebody else in a Q&A who asked me about it. And now I can't remember the story. But it was really... bizarre. I knew that story at the time because I'd been doing the whole Courtney Six and the other wags of 80s rock stars, and I'd come across it, and now I can't remember, but it's out there to find. What is the tea between Jung, Freud, and Netflix, the CIA, because psychology has literally glued itself into altering world history? That is a question. Goodness. Jung, Freud, the CIA, and Netflix. Well, Jung and Freud used to be friends. At one point, they were friends. They had a falling out because Jung would be a perfect kind of spy. He believed that you could a lot of things with your mind, and didn't necessarily agree with Freud that everything came down to sex. And there was the rumor that Jung was in cahoots with Goring, and who kind of did this psychotherapy thing, and not Hermann Göring. This is a cousin or a brother or something like that. But did this psychotherapy where you could try and control minds, hypnotize, that kind of thing. And Jung was supposedly very involved in that. And Jung was, attributed, there was statements attributed to Jung that were very pro-Nazi. And it kind of upset him a lot because he said he didn't say those things and that he wanted therapy to be available to everyone, especially Jewish individuals. And Jung was, I guess, in a couple plots to oust Hitler. And then, I think after the war, it became known that he was a spy for the OSS, the precursor to the CIA. And I think the first CIA director, the second, Dulles, I don't remember what number CIA director he was. But he said that Jung had contributed more to the cause than almost anybody else. So that's kind of that thing. So I could see, you know, he was working with the CIA. You could think about MK Ultra, that he would be the forefather of that. And then, you know, I've talked before about movies and their experiments with subliminal thoughts, where they've done it in 3D movies, and they did it in other movies. Jaws 3D was made specifically for that purpose, along with another movie at that time, which is escaping my mind right now. And so it wouldn't surprise me. Now, is Netflix involved in it? Let me pose something to you. Netflix is worldwide. We're used to seeing Tiger King and all these other shows on Netflix that are homegrown. But right now, I'm very much enjoying Ragnarok. It's Norwegian. It's very... You know me, I haven't... You know which Marvel shows I've seen. I haven't seen any of the Thor ones. But this show is so perfect. And I'm going to go on a side tangent about the show. It's so perfect. Their budget is about $500. And it's a Netflix original. It's similar to my thinking when you saw the Swedish movies, the girl with dragon tattoo, all those. The original ones, it was subtitles in English, but the budget was so much lower, but the acting was better. The writing was better. The directing was better. Now, their budget was higher than the budget for this show. But when you're watching the show, you're sucked in, even though they have no CGI, no green screens, nothing. And the only reason it is so good is because of the writing. Because of the acting, because of the directing. It's not in English, it's in Norwegian. I'm watching the subtitles. Do not watch it dubbed, because it's horrible. It's not timed right. It's like watching an old Hong Kong movie. But it is so well done with the limited budget that they have. And to me, that's the origin story I want for Thor. I don't want anything else. That being said, there are shows on Netflix from Norway. There's shows on Netflix from Brazil. There's shows on Netflix from every country where they have a major presence. So these executives are all over the world in spots where they're going to meet people. It's similar to Walt Disney. Hey, go down to South America, go meet with all these leaders, do it under the guise of animation school, and let's learn about all these kind of things. It's the same kind of thing. If you're going to use a businessman to go to these different countries and then get to these meetings with these high-level executives, because everybody wants to meet with somebody from Netflix. So could they be involved in that kind of thing? Absolutely. I honestly think that Netflix would be a better choice than any movie studio. I think Netflix or Amazon would be your best choices for that, actually, because they do have presence all over the world. And the movie studios are kind of, you know, let's just film in Australia, let's film in England, let's film in Georgia. And it just doesn't have the same thing. Plus, Netflix is doing so many different projects. And we already know that they're laundering money. So this is the way. Hey, can you come to this country and, you know, maybe the budget for this Ragnarok is $25 million, but maybe we only spend $2 million. That kind of thing. What happened between James Franco and Ally Sheedy that caused her to tweet about him that night he won a Golden Globe? I have an interesting theory about this. Ally Sheedy knew that James Franco was a horrible person. And there he was, winning a Golden Globe. And she's like, wait, this is why I left the industry. Because of jerks like this. And doing this kind of thing. Now, Ali had been in a play with James Franco. By all accounts, from people I've talked to, contemporaneous interviews, it doesn't actually look like anything went on in that off-Broadway play between Ali and James. I think that she was just making a statement about Hollywood in general. What was interesting, the second part of that tweet that nobody talks about, or the second tweet, there is a series of them, is when she saw Christian Slater. Oh, Christian Slater too, or something like that. I said, huh, that's where we need to be looking. And I don't think Christian maybe did anything to Ali either, but perhaps she has heard things that Christian Slater did, and she couldn't believe that they were there. I don't think that James Franco actually did anything to Ali. And the reason I say that is because I think Ali would have spoken up about it. She would have said, this is what he did to me, because that's when all of this came out. And she said, I have a firsthand experience about that too. And she didn't. She didn't say that. I think that she was just talking about the general horrible state of Hollywood. Auntie, please tell us more about Devante Hart, Sandra Bullock, and Charlize Theron. Don't do me like that. So the story goes that Devante Hart was not in that car that went careening over the cliff. That's how the story goes. So you have Devante Hart. Wasn't there because he was doing something else. Wasn't involved. Wasn't there. But he is an orphan. And who is going to adopt him? And the story went that I heard from multiple people, including the person who told me many years ago that Sandra Bullock had adopted somebody. And I remember that so much because I wrote in a blind, Sandra Bullock just adopted another child. But she didn't talk about it. She didn't lead with that. She didn't mention it for 3 months. And I was just, I know this person's right. They told me exactly what day. They told me everything. And then finally, she admitted, yes, you know, I adopted this another child. I was like, okay. So that same person is saying that Devante Hart was around and that people were talking about it, that celebrities had been approached and if they wanted to adopt Devante. And then it kind of just died. And Sandra didn't adopt a child and Charlize didn't. And I'm like, well, how come? Apparently, to this day, Devante, I don't think, was in that car. But I don't know if any of these celebrities wanted the attention that would come with them if they adopted Devante. There was also talk that it was a scam from somebody trying to get adoption money that a celebrity or somebody high profile was going to have to pay. But I think everybody's pretty convinced that he did survive. But it's at that point where they didn't, it just kind of ended. And I don't really have one connection to celebrity adoptions. And when that person didn't have any more information, then there was no more. There was just nowhere to go. There was no more people to look or to search. Nobody knew where to go. Well, let's see. Why did John Mulaney leave his wife, really leave his wife? Well, I revealed a couple of blinds a couple weeks ago that I'd been saving for 2 years, something like that, about how he would approach college students before he would come to town on campuses and hook up with them, try and make arrangements to hook up with some random college student. I know that on other websites they talked about that he hooked up with strippers. So I think that that's a lot. If you think about, his wife also said that she went to rehab. There's some kind of enabling going on. You don't want to be around somebody else who's also in recovery. The divorce was coming prior to him going to rehab. There was all the rumblings for it. It just happened to break after he got out of rehab. And when he was talking about it in his stand-up. The choice of Olivia Munn, not a good choice. I you know, because everybody, Olivia is a beard for hire. And so that, you're like, okay, well, is this relationship real then? I'm not saying that John Mulaney's gay or anything, but just Olivia's up for a fake relationship. And then the story of, oh, we met and it was a church thing, and I seem to recall John Mulaney said he didn't believe in religion or anything like that. So, take that with what you will. Any updates on the attorneys from Oak Park, Illinois that were murdered? No. And the reason I can say that so confidently is because I last month was the anniversary. So I made a point of the middle of April, April 20th, 21st, whatever it is, to go look, to see if there's any follow-ups, if the police released any new leads for the anniversary to get everybody interested in it again. There's nothing. Nothing at all. It almost feels like they're not even working it, to be honest with you, which is distressing. And it's distressing to the relatives who are really getting angry at the police, saying that they're not working on it. So, no updates right now. Is it true that Michael Jackson tried to put a curse on Steven Spielberg? If so, what happened between them? Of course there was a curse. That was the greatest thing ever. It happened maybe, I guess it was 2000, it was before 9/11, so it had to be early 2001, 2000-ish, something like that. And he attended some kind of voodoo ritual. I believe it was in Europe, of all places. Not Louisiana, not the Caribbean, not Haiti, nothing like that. In Europe, Switzerland, Germany, something like that. And a witch doctor promised to that Spielberg and also David Geffen and 23 other people that Michael Jackson had on a list of enemies would die. Then this freaky thing happened where Michael Jackson had to undergo a blood bath as part of the ritual, where he actually bathed in blood. Then he had to pay $150,000 to somebody else. It was somebody in Africa who was also a voodoo chief. And that person sacrificed 42 cows for the ceremony. I believe that those were the cows that he had the bloodbath in. And don't forget, at this time, in 2000, Michael Jackson is desperately in debt. And I'm not talking 10 or 20 or $30 million. I'm talking hundreds of million dollars in debt. It was really bad, and I just can't believe that he did that. And it has to do with some videos that Spielberg was going to do, and Michael wanted to be cast in something. They did not have this contentious. They had a contentious relationship. The David Geffen one. I mean, David Geffen, if you weren't on his team, then he was going to try and screw you over. I don't know anything about the other 23 people, but that is a really, really big enemies list to have. And I don't think people talk about this enough. This was not some magazine, newspaper reported on it. Everybody reported it on the time. CNN, everybody. The BBC, everybody was talking about it. It was 100% true because the assistant who had to wire the money had to testify in a deposition or something and was asked about it. So 100% true, 100%. All right, so that is it for this part. I think I can do the rest all in the next part. I'll talk to you guys soon.